Hello and welcome to this Minnesota Wild pocket. What? Well, no, I got my Minnesota Wild hat on for the game tonight. It's actually a Vikings Territory Breakdown podcast with Mark Craig from the Star Tribune and myself, Joe O'Reilly from VikingsTerritory.com and PurplePTSD.com. But, it's the kind of one of those dead areas in the schedule of the 365 day a year schedule of the NFL, so there's not much to talk about. So I got my Wild hat on, Mark. They're playing the St. Louis
Is
Blues.
it is that orange?
Yes. It's
This state needs a lot more orange, Joe. I appreciate you bringing some orange to this state. Wait,
well,
is that say, that doesn't say Browns? No.
no, it says the Wild. And this says Mankato Brewery, so it just got
I thought maybe you lost your sponsorships there.
no. It's got to pump it up for the Wild tonight because they got to win this one big game and they can take that series. But anyway, we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about all exciting news happening out at TCO Performance Center with the Vikings. And the first thing on the agenda will just rivet everybody. Even more so, they'll be more excited than the news about the Wild and the Mankato Brewery. The Vikings signed a kicker, Gabe Brkic. Burkett, I couldn't even say it, but the man needs to buy a vowel just like Herbeck needed to. And sounds like they're bringing in some competition for their play kicker, Greg Joseph. And just wanted to ask you, Mark, is that a good idea, or is that just more of the Zimmer mentality to make that kicker nervous and make him screw up all season?
You want the honest? It's not gonna make your podcast better, Joe. But I think it's a camp leg. They got the rookies coming in. You need two kickers in camp. You don't just run the same kicker through all the drills and everything. So it obviously doesn't. I think he had a pretty good college career as well. But I don't see it as competition. Man, I'd like to say that there was a heated competition to kicker. But I believe it's a camp leg, Joe. And this, but this man, he could maybe have a future in the NFL. You never know. You end up, I mean, look at Greg Joseph. I mean, the guy was with six teams like in 4 years. Did miss the that kick at Arizona, but otherwise, I think he proved himself to be pretty a pretty reliable guy. With all, he was like 7 of 9 from 50 yards. Had the game winner. That was 50 plus against Detroit. Had the 50 some yarder in Cincinnati that sent that game into overtime. But as far as the NFL schedule, Joe, this is not a downtime. This is a slow release to the schedule because
That's for sure.
they're going to do on Thursday. They've already told us, they announced about a month ago that they were going to announce this on Thursday. But each network that pays the bazillion dollars to show games, I think yesterday was ESPN and ABC. They got to announce some of their games. So the Vikings are playing at Philly.
Wait,
And
wait,
I
wait.
reckon, I,
We're not,
yeah, so.
we're gonna get to that later. I mean, we're building, we're
We're
crescendoing to
okay.
that.
But to say that the NFL is taking a day off, Joe, no. If they don't take days off, Joe, please get your caffeine. Come on, start talking about the schedule, Joe.
That's the NFL. That's their mentality. It's a downtime for me, actually. When I used to do this podcast with Joe Johnson, who started VikingsTerritory.com and PurplePTSD.com, is no longer with us, God rest his soul. But he loved doing a podcast about the schedule. And my goodness, he wanted to talk about it and do all the prognosticating for all the games that were coming up. And I'm just going, God, just get me to September so we can start watching them and talk about them. But anyway, we'll talk about that in the next segment. But I just wanted to ask you a little bit more about special teams. I mean, special teams was really kind of weird during the Zimmer era, wouldn't you say? I mean, it was sometimes, I mean, late in his tenure, it got really good again, but there was a period in there where kickers were flying in and out of here, and none of them ever felt comfortable. And sometimes the special teams coverages were down. And I guess what it did for me during this period was just make me really realize how important special teams are. They're a huge part of the game. And even though for when I was growing up, there were time to go get another beer or go get something out of the fridge, but special teams are pretty crucial. And I don't know if Zimmer quite enjoyed having to have special teams on his team.
So wait a minute. So a native Minnesotan is telling me that the kicker is important in the NFL? Isn't that – you guys are born with that, aren't you guys? Don't they hand you like a missed field goal in your crib? In Massillon, Ohio, every baby boy that was born in Massillon, Ohio, maybe it's every baby now, but they would put an orange Tigers football in their crib. I think in Minnesota, don't you get like a – aren't you like born with some scar tissue when it comes to kickers and stuff like that? So it goes beyond Zimmer. But a good story I was talking to Zimmer about they were doing for Cincinnati coach, longtime Cincinnati coach. I'm drawing a blank on his name, but
Lewis.
Yeah, Marvin Lewis was a really good regular season coach. Went 0-8 in the playoffs. Never won a playoff game, so he's being roasted in Cincinnati. Zimmer's already the head coach here, so they go back. Zimmer admits he has a little bit of red wine in him. He gets up there and he starts roasting Marvin Lewis for not winning a playoff game. And then at the end, he kind of zinged himself. He said, you know, I used to always ask Marvin, you know, Marvin, come on. You've had 8 tries. You can't win a playoff game. You know, what's the deal? He goes, and then my kicker missed a 26-yard field goal or 27 yards, whatever Blair Walsh, should know this off. That's how you can miss, how you can blow a playoff game is when your kicker, it's 100 degrees below zero, you're playing outside, and your kicker duck hooks a 27-yard attempt, and you lose 10-9. So, Zimmer had his issues with kickers, obviously. Then they drafted one, and the guy lasts literally 2 weeks and is cut and becomes one of the best kickers in the league later on. I still say that if they had kept him or that guy around, he doesn't do that in Minnesota, because looking into his eyes after he missed three field goals in Green Bay that week, there was nobody, there was no Vikings fans, there was no Vikings person who covers the team, no coach, no player, nobody in anywhere wanted to keep that guy beyond when they got home and cut him. So there was no trust left in him. But yeah, Zimmer said his share. Ironically, you know, I think he had a pretty good kicker last year. Like, believe it or not, they're not perfect. I mean, they're almost judged on if you're not 100%, there's something wrong with them. But realistically, that guy had a really good year, made some really big kicks, and that's the year Zimmer gets fired. They also found themselves a kick returner that's going to be, you know, he had 2 touchdowns in 18 attempts as a rookie, and the guy, he's one of the fastest guys in the league. You know, I would expect that this guy is going to be, only get better early in his career returning kicks.
Yeah. You know, you're talking about Daniel Carlson. I remember being out at TCO when he first arrived and being in a media scrum out there with him. And God, he looked like he was a babe in the woods, you know, just, you know, like he was about 14 years old. And he came off a pretty good college season. And was he a fifth or sixth rounder?
Fifth rounder, yeah.
And everybody was asking him about his confidence, and he just came right out and said, I'm a very confident kid. That's my big, big thing. And I said, okay. I mean, he didn't look like it because he looked so young. And I felt so bad for him that after that horrendous missed 3 field goals against the Packers in Lambeau, when he had 2 chances to beat him, and he didn't get it done. Man, oh man! You know, I've always watched him out in with the Raiders, and just kind of said, "What could have been?" You know, you knew. I think he needed to get out away from Zimmer. I think he needed to get out of this pressure. The Vikings were a team that was looking to go to the playoffs that year, so there's a lot of pressure to bring in a rookie kicker because you're going to win and lose games, and that especially the way throughout the Zimmer era he played. You know, the grinded out defense or grinded out offense and keep the defense, you know, off the field and blah, blah, blah. So you're going to get those low scoring games. It was almost preordained that this kid was going to be good after.
Yeah. Well, that's following Minnesota history. I would assume, you know, you talk about players looking like babes in the woods and young and all this stuff. That's the first group that starts looking that way. And then the head coaches start looking that way to you. And then the general managers start looking that way to you, Joe. They all look like they're 14 years old. Kwesi looks like he's 20. O'Connell looks like he's the teenager. The players, I mean, the players are now born in early 2000s or whatever. So, yeah, it's a totally different viewpoint of the league. You've seen it evolve. The Ditkas are long gone. Now the Mike Zimmers are going to be long gone. We'll see if this is what everyone wanted. They wanted an offensive approach to this. The restart, however many restarts to Kirk Cousins' career as far as we're going to make this guy a winning quarterback. It's all there. This is the style that people have clamored for. We'll see how it does. We'll see how it goes.
I heard that they're going to have a sock hop before the opening of the season, just to, you know, out at TCO, just to have a nice, you know, dance out there for the kids to kick up their heels before the season.
Yeah, the sock hop. Does anyone know what that? No, yeah, I think that's even beyond my time. But another good story was they had to do a kind of a film review, off the record film review. Of the players that they took, then O'Connell and Kwesi, and they had Ryan Grigson in there and all the scouts and everything, and showed us different clips of why they like different guys, and one thing came up was Grigson is he's a big guy, he's an offensive specialty, he kind of has a certain eye for offensive linemen, which a Minnesotan should certainly hope that he has an eye for a guard somewhere along the line here. But he has a term that Kwesi mentioned. If a big guy has good feet, he said he's got Fred Astaire feet. And then Kwesi joked that he said, we've got to come up with a different term because Kevin O'Connell didn't know who Fred Astaire was. And so then Kwesi was going around, because this is a newer, friendlier, they're kinder, they're gentler, Joe. They're going around the room asking for people like, who's a modern dancer that with good feet that we could use for our young head coach? And I joked, I think you should tell your head coach to Google Fred Astaire or YouTube him or whatever. Fred Astaire, I don't know when Fred Astaire passed away, but, you know, I know I wasn't in the wheelhouse of Fred Astaire years, but I think there has to be some ownership of like when you're born, you have to like know that life existed before you were born. I think that's a millennial or whatever, whoever came after the millennials now. They don't quite understand that creation didn't start till
social media started.
Mark. Yeah. So, you know, expand your horizons, put down your phone or actually pick up your phone and Google Fred Astaire.
Fred and Ginger. Yeah. My wife is a lover of dance. And so she indoctrinated me on all the Fred and Ginger movies back when we were first dating, and, you know, probably looking over at me and wishing I could dance like Fred.
Well, I didn't have any question that you wouldn't know who Fred Astaire is.
Thank you, Mark. Okay. I appreciate that. And with that age shot, which he keeps putting in here, whenever we can slide him in, even though I think fans would be shocked, our listeners would be shocked to know just how much younger you are than I. So we'll save that for a later.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a shot. That's right. So we'll take a quick break because I need a rest. I'm old, apparently. So I'll take a quick break and we'll be right back with more with Mark Craig and Vikings Territory Break. All right. Welcome back to Vikings Territory Breakdown podcast with Mark Craig from the Star Tribune. Mark, you know, I'm going to insist again, it's still a slow period in the NFL because I've been scraping the barrel for stuff to go on. I know that schedule's coming. We're going to get pumped up to talk about that schedule because that's a big deal. We'll do that in our next segment. But right now I wanted to talk about something I saw online yesterday where Mike Sando at Mike Sando NFL wrote a story about talking to GMs about they were trying to get a handle on what they thought Kwesi's footprint was after his first draft, what his track record is, what you know, just to try to get a read on him for future and what he's going to do. And you know, some of them called into question the trade with Detroit. And some are saying that, you know, at least one guy says, you know, I mean, he's a analytics guy and he's going to do that. So you look at him and you think, oh, he's going to want to trade down. So he goes, I think I should, what does he say here? maybe our first offer will always be lower because we know it's Kwesi and he'll want to trade down, you know. But, you know, there were some of them were complaining that he didn't get market value for that trade with the Lions, even though another guy said, well, the players rated from 12 to 66 were closer together in ability than those top guys. So he probably equated that way and stockpiled draft picks, which is something I was saying on this podcast last week when we went back and forth. But, you know, I thought it was interesting, you know, that, you know, just like you as a media guy, want to know, you were saying for a couple, you know, weeks preceding, what's Kwesi going to be like? What's he going to, his draft going to be like? These other guys are looking for the same thing so they can get an edge in future drafts and trading with them. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I would certainly hope that whoever that quote was, by the way, Mike Sando is great. So it's a credible story. I believe that the guy said it. I would certainly hope that someone in that position would lowball, you know, start out with a low offer to begin with. You don't start off with what you're actually going to give. I think, and this is what
unless
we said.
You're on the clock.
What's that?
Unless you're hampered by the clocks running out.
Yeah. I mean, you. I don't know what the being hampered and everything was, but initially my first instinct, as we talked about at length last week, was they didn't get enough. And then you start looking at all the charts. Okay, these are charts that are established to kind of give you a guide based on history and so forth. People will say, oh, they're 30 years ago, they're this, they're that. But it's at least a guide. My eyeball, the first instinct was that that's just not enough to get out of the top 12. I'm not buying it. I mean, Kwesi might be right, but I personally am not buying it. Right? You know, so I agree with the fact that right now it looks like, hey, you can lowball the guy. Now, you know, there's a lot of more water that has to go under the bridge here before we get a feel for A, whether he's right or not, or B, if he gets burned and he finds out that it was, or he gets a sense in his review of it, of himself that he gave up, he didn't get enough in return. I would imagine he'll be a little more reluctant to make a trade where he doesn't get as much again. You know, but if he got an all pro if he got an all pro safety at 32 and you know, two trades produced what, four players or whatever it was, whatever his haul was, if he's happy with it, and he might do it again. It's all kind of depends.
And
problem is that may take 3 years, 3-4 years to unfold. So we won't really know.
I hope he has 3 or 4 years after the grief he got. You know, I mean, it comes down to two is some of these metrics or ways that people judge the draft. They're saying the Jimmy Johnson thing and or draft judging trades. You know, and blah blah blah. You know, it's all speculative. It's not an exact science. So anybody can apply to it whatever they want, because like you said, some guy said, well, you know, he said maybe Trent McDuffie wasn't a number 12 pick, so why would you take him? Why wouldn't you try to get more out of him and then go down there and, you know, if there's someone else between 12 and 32 that you think you can do just as well and get your hands on? I'm all for that.
My feeling, if that's my answer to that, would be then you just didn't do. I have a hard time believing that 12 all the way to 32 was evenly ranked, that just take one and they're the same as the others. So to me, that then brings into play, you better be the, you know, take the best player available. That's what they tell us all the time, but so rarely do they actually do that. You know, if you're standing at 12 and the best player, because there's some people that have said that the Vikings may have taken, if they stayed at 12 and they if forced to like they had no trade options whatsoever, then they would have taken Williams at 12. I don't know that I believe that, but to me, you better be prepared if there's not a trade available that you take a player that would be better than 32. Now they did get something. I just don't think they got enough. And also, I think that, you know, knowing Detroit, you know, something will happen. They probably screwed it up. It's Detroit's track record, you know, multiple regimes. They kind of screw things up. But it made it easier for them to take a leap up 20 spaces and only give up what they gave up. I'm sorry, but it's like they made Kwesi made that an easier, or much easier move to go up that far and get that guy. Now, the Falcons did that with the Browns to get Julio Jones, but that, you know, granted, that was number five or six. They got a heck of a lot more. Plus, they got a one the following year. The Browns did. Browns probably, I think they screwed up all the picks involved with the Julio Jones trade. But, you know, that was a big, big risk for them to go from where they were like 24, I think. They went up to five or six. You know, granted, it's not 12, but I still think, bottom line, they should have got more for giving up the 12th pick in the draft.
And I'm not going to argue that. I'm just saying I think you also got to factor in need. The Vikings did not need Jameson Williams there. They did not need him at 12. So if he's a 10 at that position, if you rank him as a 10 on a scale of 1 to 10 at number 12, and you rank guys from 12 to 34 as 9s and 8s, let's say, you know, wouldn't it be better to pass on a 10 that you don't need and get a 9 and maybe an 8 or something like that?
We're kind of back to that, what we talked about last week. It's like, granted, it's not a glaring need, but the Vikings were pretty good when they were three receivers deep, you know, Carter, Moss, and Reed. You add another first-round pick into that. Considering how the market has changed on receivers, considering that Adam Thielen is 31 years old, considering that Justin Jefferson is going to cost you 30-some million dollars a year in a couple years, history may not remember it the same way we're looking at it right now, that they didn't need that guy. Now, granted, I mean, you could – now, and in 2005, where they were drafting, I forget where they were they drafted – that was Troy Williamson. Now, you could say they did not need a quarterback, right? But if you go back in time and you said, okay, if you knew hindsight, Aaron Rodgers is sitting there. You passed on Aaron Rodgers twice. And then Dante Culpepper – six games later, blows out his knee and is never the same player. Never plays another down.
You don't know that. You can't.
No, I'm just saying you don't know that stuff. But if Jameson Williams ends up being this elite speed guy that blows the top off, changes, you know, how teams are playing, and is that type of player, there will be people who remember, hey, you know, my goodness, you could have had three receivers. You could have had, this is Adam Thielen's, you know, successor. This is the guy that you have. You can't afford Justin Jefferson. Just saying, there's a lot there.
There is. If you're thinking you're done with Thielen in a year, maybe a year or two, or you can't renegotiate his contract again next year, then that's maybe the pick to make. But you know, the bigger need was defense, and so I'm glad they got a defender in the first round. And you know, I wish they had, you know, they got a couple more down the road, but. We'll see. We'll be arguing about this forever. I have another draft question for you that could probably get us going as well. The Vikings, you know, coming in, conventional wisdom was they should have taken a quarterback, because they don't, you know, certainly Zimmer didn't see much in Kellen Mond, and Kirk is expensive as hell, who's the backup? I can't even think of him. Sean Mannion is not
Sean Mannion,
the guy of the future. You know, they didn't take one. Was there any thoughts on that? Should they have? We never did discuss that. I mean, everybody thought that they were going to do that with their 34th pick that they got from Detroit on day two. You know, many of the fans are hoping that Tampa Bay would not take a quarterback there to back up, you know, to be the future guy after Tom Brady, but and Malik Willis was sitting there, but they didn't pick him. In fact, he dropped to the third round. It was did the Vikings miss an opportunity there, or now do we have to start telling ourselves that Kellen Mond is better than what Mike Zimmer saw in practice?
Well, yeah, I think Mike Zimmer's take on quarterbacks is probably something we should put on the shelf, because that's over. That's one reason people are excited, because I think, you know, even the people that like Zimmer are probably like, hey, you know, it's kind of be refreshing to see a new take on the offense, on the quarterback, and that whole You know, to me, I think we said this going into the draft was we'll find out what, you know, Connell and Kwesi, like a lot of people in their positions, they'll say all the, you know, they'll say they like Mond or they say they like Garrett Bradbury. They'll say all the right things whenever it's a group and they're on the record and you know, it, just because that's what they do. But to me, when they didn't take a quarterback in those mid rounds, that told me that O'Connell sees something in Mond because Mond wasn't developed last year. He didn't play. Our only peek at him was in the preseason when he looked like he was five steps slower than everyone that was around him. But it tells me that I almost look at Kellen Mond as O'Connell's mid-round draft pick because, you know, he didn't belong to Zimmer. You know, for Zimmer to take a look, like be asked, are you going to take a look at Kellen Mond in the final game of the season in a year or a night where, you know, that was the kill shot. You know, Kirk Cousins, ironically, you know, the COVID thing that Zimmer was arguing about with publicly with Cousins in the preseason in the summer end up being the kill shot for Zimmer. So Cousins wins in part because he gets COVID and misses that key game that eliminates them from the playoffs. And then, you know, so Zimmer needed to win, and ultimately Spielman too needed to win last year. They weren't developing quarterbacks. Well, right now it's a totally different situation. Kwesi, O'Connell, these guys don't, and Wes Phillips, the offensive coordinator, these guys don't need to win. I mean, it helps, you know, to build a good track record at the start, but they're not going to get fired this year. So they're developing. They're not only, you know, the competitive rebuild, as you say, as they say, they're working, they're focused on this year, but they're also working toward the future. And Kellen Mond, it tells me by them not drafting a guy in the second, third round, fourth round, whatever, that is their rookie quarterback, basically, because last year was basically a wash for that kid.
I saw a tweet this morning before we came on, and I can't remember who it's from, but someone was speculating that if Kellen Mond was in this draft in 2022, that he would have been the first quarterback taken off the board.
Now, I don't know, but I mean, who knows? You know, there's the argument on system quarterback. I don't know. We don't know. We do not know. We haven't seen enough, but. You know, by them not taking quarterback anywhere, you know, tells me that they see something in Kellen Mond. And it's also like if you go out at Pete Carroll in Seattle, you know, why didn't you take a quarterback? Why didn't you take a quarterback? Pete Carroll's answer was it was along the same lines. If Drew Locke had been in this draft, he would have been the first guy taken. So
yeah.
It was just not a good quarterback class. I mean, Malik from the guy from Liberty. Is a guy that I thought everybody would over, you know, that somebody in the top 10 is going to panic and take him. I think I had him going eighth and he goes 78. So you're seeing, you know, by nature, what the Rams did, the Rams traded and won a Super Bowl, then the Browns traded and then the Broncos trade. And then, you know, Carson Wentz is going, he's with a different team every year now. That's kind of the new, there's other avenues to get your quarterback and not just the draft. And so we saw a drastic shift away from that panic that you see with the draft and quarterbacks.
You know, I just remember hearing this back in the Christian Ponder days that when you draft a quarterback, there's clearly an adjustment to the playing in the NFL. I mean, the norm is that you've got to develop them for a bit before – they can really jump up and start. Even Rodgers sat and watched, you know, of course the case could be made. He might've been able to start sooner, but you know, there is some time for that. So we really haven't, Kellen Mond didn't get a chance to develop in any way on the field, on the playing field, for the Vikings last year. So he does deserve a shot, I think, for us to at least see what he's got. And maybe Kevin O'Connell is the kind of guy who is the quarterback whisperer that can bring the best out of him. And maybe they have seen something or they will see something to make this be a draft pick 1 year delayed that they can develop and see if they got something for it. I think they have to do that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Zimmer was, I mean, everything about Zimmer and O'Connell is completely 180. It's like they're from age to the fact one played quarterback to the one's defense, one's offense, one's old school, one's new school. Everything about it, one guy was fighting for his coaching career life. Other guy has got a honeymoon period. Kellen Mond is in a lot better hands right now than he was last year. It's a pick that Zimmer didn't want, obviously. I'm sure that part of all the hours that O'Connell has spent over in that building, you know, learning a team and everything, a big chunk of that had to be doing some sort of, you know, get to know and research on what Kellen Mond, and obviously he probably did a little bit of work on him coming out of the draft last year when he was with the Rams and knows a little bit about that history, but it just tells me that, okay, they're looking at him as their rookie quarterback. So,
yeah,
you know, we'll see.
So you want to put all the Zimmer discussion on the shelf. So you're trying to get, you know, you're trying to put Zimmer out to pasture. All right. Well, that means I'm going to bring him up every week until the season starts.
I'm saying, yeah, if you're saying, well, Zimmer didn't like him, that's because that now they're going to take a quarterback because Zimmer didn't like this guy. I don't know if you got the memo, but Mike Zimmer has been basically, he's been scrubbed from the history of the Vikings for the near term. And they might stick him back up, later on. But right now he's the oldest news is the guy who just left, you know, like nothing older than yesterday or today's or yesterday's newspaper. You know, it's one of those deals where, this is the, I was joking with O'Connell. He was showing us some highlights of Scene, mm-hmm. and why they liked him and everything. And twice during his review of Scene and Booth, he made reference to that should have been defensive pass interference. They, you know, if I'm coaching, I'm up in the referee's ear saying, "Hey, that's defensive pass interference." And at the end, I said, I need a little time to wrap my head around the fact that the Vikings head coach is complaining that there's not enough defensive pass interference in the NFL or in college football in the NFL. So it's a whole different world over there right now from the top down.
Well, they all got some ghosts to eradicate from TCO. I mean, there's a tweet I saw. I was just looking at Quasey's this morning, his Twitter feed, and it says, for all the people comparing me to Rick Spielman, remember he traded a fourth round pick for this guy. And it's 89, who looks like he's a ball carrier, is a receiver. I can't, if you can see that. Who the heck is that? Is that the tight end that they got from the Jets?
Yeah, it's Chris Herndon.
That's it.
Yeah. I honestly, Quasey is tweeting that?
Yeah.
Are you sure? You're not being fooled by some phony account or?
Well, you know, it's under his account. It was it's the top one there now. So I looked at it and said, wow, Quasey's clapping back a little bit at his people. I thought that was
kind of interesting. Well, I guess a modern – maybe he's the Donald Trump of GMs.
Oh, my. That's trouble. Yeah, Donald Trump doesn't like people to criticize him. So I hope Quasey's not that way. So, but anyway – we'll put that on the shelf for now and we'll take another quick break and we'll be back with the schedule reveal. I think we got Mike Waldman in the background. Hopefully he's got some NFL, you know, from those old NFL film days, dun, 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 you know, to introduce the NFL Vikings schedule for 2022.
And so in those type of films now, do they, instead of like because I used to love watching the Vikings one with when I didn't know that I would end up spending over half my life here. The purple people eaters were meant for that John Facenda with the breath coming out. So now what do they show, like the rubber on the plastic grass coming up real slow motion now? Is that the new tough guy NFL?
Wow, that's harsh. I know. I'll tell you one thing. I never missed NFL Today this week in the NFL every Saturday with Facenda and that music and the passes floating through the slow motion through the air and then landing in a receiver's hands. Oh my God, it was the greatest. It was the greatest.
And then Howard Cosell on Monday Night Football. I wonder if O'Connell knows who Howard Cosell is. You have to ask him that.
Good question.
The highlights on Monday Night Football was the first time he saw the highlights. So
we'll be back with more from Mark and myself on Vikings Territory Breakdown. Welcome back, folks, to Vikings Territory Breakdown podcast with Mark Craig from the Star Tribune. Mark, we don't have the John Vicenda voice. I don't. And we don't have the NFL inspirational music from NFL This Week in the NFL, which I grew up with. I don't know if you did, Mr.
Young. Oh, yeah. Okay. Sure.
See, you're not so damn young. Anyway, so, well, you know, the Vikings or the NFL started leaking, you know, some of the networks leaked a couple games this week of the new schedule. And we already knew the opponents. We have that list and we'll talk about that. But the Vikings have two big games already that we know about. Week two, they will play on Monday Night Football in Philadelphia. I hope it doesn't snow and that they have to move it to Tuesday night like they did once when the Vikings' roof collapsed. But, they go to play the Eagles there at a big game. And then week four, 2 weeks later, they're off to London to play the New Orleans Saints. And I guess my first question for you, Mark, are you going to London?
I'm not sure. I think so. I would assume so. I'd rather go to New Orleans. Just like the last time they went, it was the Browns' home game. I got screwed out of a trip to Cleveland to go to London. I was the only guy. I was like, I want to go to Cleveland. I don't want to go to London. To me, that's an advantage for the Vikings. Because you get over there, the crowd is, it's neutral. It's you go over there and it's kind of like, obviously it's beyond new to these people because there's been like a million of them now. The NFL wants so badly to put a team there, but the problem is, I don't think there's not a player there. It's not a free agent that would want to go and live there and have to do all the travel and everything.
That has never going to happen, is it?
No. Well, until they can make airplanes go, get over there in a half hour or whatever. I don't know. But I remember when they were there the first time in 2013 that I went, and people were asking the same questions about would you like to see a team come here? Would you play for it? And Jared Allen said, heck no, I wouldn't want to. Are you kidding me? I want to live in the United States, and I don't want to be doing all this travel and everything. But I think by being the Saints' home game, that takes that dome down there. I don't know what the Saints are going to be like. It's so weird, not only not having Drew Brees, but not having Sean Payton. It's a whole new era for the Saints. Not having to play in that dome, that's obviously one of the loudest. Whenever I've been down there for games, I think it's the loudest stadium I've ever heard crowds. And, there's a lot that are close. Metrodome was incredible. The U.S. Bank Stadium is very, very loud and a great advantage. But I just, that Superdome was, as loud as it gets, I think.
Mark, so along those lines, what do you think, is it possible that some team next offseason that's just hurting for a new coach, they're going to fire their coach halfway through the season because they're so bad and they need to sell tickets. And they bring in co-head coaches, Sean Payton and Mike Zimmer to reunite the former guys who played, weren't they together coaches for the Dallas Cowboys when they won one of those Super Bowls? I think they were on the same staff. That's where they became buddies. Wouldn't that be interesting for the NFL?
Well, I think there, as I talked to Zimmer last year about you remember that Christmas Day game where Peyton kind of rubbed it in Zim's face?
Right.
I think the friendship took a little hit there because I remember asking Zim. I said, Zim, what were your thoughts about Peyton, your buddy, kind of rubbing your nose in that? And he goes, he said, I was a little surprised. And he said, if I ever get the chance to return the favor, I will. So, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of funny that they did have the two playoff games that went Zimmer's favor. So but it'd be interesting. Yeah. I think Zim's obviously, I think he's done I don't think anyone's going to bring him as a coordinator. I don't
really,
but maybe, he could, you're still there. You see a lot of the consultants, maybe with the right situation. I could see Zimmer going back to Dallas.
Yeah. There's some age on the Viking staff with, Ed DiBartolo. That's not his name, but Ed Donatel, You know, and even the other guy that's the consultant that came over from came over from Cleveland.
Like, Patton, but he's young. He's like 56. He's a young man.
Okay. Well, anyway.
But the other game that's been released as we trickle out the releasing of the schedule, Philadelphia primetime night game. And a word of wise to all Minnesotans who may have what Philly's like, you know, don't get in your Kirk Cousins, your favorite Kirk Cousins jersey and go walking into Philly and think that you're not going to meet a little resistance on the way in and the way out.
Suddenly if you did that, suddenly the storming of the Capitol on January 6th will look mild compared to what might happen.
Yeah, I mean, Philadelphia is part of it is because they got the reputation. They don't want to lose the reputation. Plus, if you've ever been in Philly, there's a certain I can't imagine Midwesterners ever going to Philly, living there and being happy with it because it's a different world. So they want to be known as they're known as the most obnoxious fans in the world. And physical and fighting and all this stuff. I mean, around the time though, when they went to the Super Bowl was when the Vikings were out there, obviously there's a lot of problems, people throwing cans at the buses and stuff like that. But I think a guy punched a horse. Was that around? So whenever, you know, you've had a little too much to drink when you punch a horse.
Yeah.
Unless you're what's his name? Mago in,
Karras from
Alex Karras.
That's the only guy I know about that punched a horse. Well, you know, looking at some of the other games on the schedule, we know they have the six games against their NFC opponents, and one in each place. So we got the Bears, Lions, and Packers. How do you think they'll do in those two games against the Bears this year?
Well, you know, when I look at the division, it's the same as I've seen it over the years. You know, Zimmer was able to, you know, the thing about Zimmer, he was able to sneak in some wins against the Packers that the rest of the division, wasn't able to do. But I always went in, even looking with Zimmer, that the Packers were, for obvious reasons, you know, number 12 and what they're able to put around him. And that head coach now is a guy that's, he hasn't been to the Super Bowl, but he's done just about everything but get there. I just look at them being so far behind the Packers. I give the Packers two wins. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but, and then I see them. I don't see them being far enough ahead of see them being far enough ahead of the Bears to be saying they're going to win down in Chicago because that's such a hard win for them. Yeah. So I do a split with the Bears, and now – I do a split with the Lions because obviously they lost the Lions last year. That had typical Vikings meltdown written all over it. I was saying that beforehand, but even though the Lions were 0-10 or whatever, that just had a feel of the Vikings were going to blow that game, and they did. So I go a split with the Lions. So, it's kind of Debbie Downer here, but 2-4 in the division is kind of what I see at a very early point. Yeah, it is May 10th or whatever, so we can change our minds. But I don't see. I kind of that's how I see where they're at.
I'm going to differ with you on those six games. I think they're going to split with the Packers, depending on the time of year. If they have a December game in Lambeau, they're going to lose that one. But if they catch them early enough with the game here, maybe or one of the games, I think the Vikings can beat them before. They can get their new receiver up to speed, you know, because there's going to be an adjustment for Christian Watson is his name, and catch him early, and he might not have it all figured out yet. So I think they'll split. I think that I do think the Lions and Vikings will split. The Lions really improved themselves, and they fought their coach. They believe in their coach. They fought like hell last year, you know, when they were struggling mightily. And I think they'll be a better team and he's going to get them prepared. But I think they're going to beat the Bears twice, even in Chicago. And the Bears are in a definite rebuild. If they don't, it's a disappointment. Now we could schedule one of those games right out right now. The Vikings always seem to end up with the Bears at the last game of the year here in Minneapolis. But that's beside the point. Hopefully it means something. But I think
– So wait a second. Whoa. So you got them winning in Chicago. You got them sweeping the Packers.
No. And you said they split with the Packers.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. So you got them splitting with the Packers. You got them sweeping the Bears and
splitting.
You
with
got
the
loot, and you got them splitting with the Lions.
Yes. Is that a problem?
The Bears wouldn't be the one that I would pick to be the one that they sweep. But
yeah, I just think they lost a lot of their players that were a nemesis for the Vikings. I mean, they lost I don't think Akeem Hicks is anywhere, is he? Is he signed with anybody? I don't think so.
Yeah, I think he's old and injured. But yeah, it's I don't know. Have it to me that I very well it could be that they split with the Packers because there's talent there, and obviously being at US Bank Stadium, unless you're doing it in a pandemic and Aaron Rodgers is walking to the line of scrimmage laughing because he can get you to jump off sides on three third downs because there's no fans. US Bank Stadium can be a tremendous advantage against Aaron Rodgers. But I go in assuming that they aren't good enough to beat them twice. Beat them once. I just have the Packers being good enough to sweep the Vikings.
Like I said, get them early before they start doing. I mean, the Packers lost their first game last year when they were trying to feel things out. I mean, that was a neutral field, but it wasn't a Jackson.
They got killed.
Yeah.
They got crushed, yeah.
So that could happen again this year. Make that the first game of the year. That would be nice for me. Well, then the Vikings, the rest of their home schedule has from the NFC East, they got the Dallas Cowboys and the New York Giants are coming to town. So is that any fun for you, Mark?
Well, Cooper Rush, let's hope that Dak Prescott is able to play because you don't want any part of Cooper Rush.
Yeah, whatever.
And remember that? But whenever I picked him to beat the Cowboys, I said, well, hey, it was based on Dak Prescott playing the game, not Cooper Rush. I don't – the Cowboys have a lot of talent. it's hard. Right. Well – They had managed to beat them with Cooper Rush. But to me, if I had to pick, right now, the May 10th or whatever, I would say they beat the Giants, they lose to the Cowboys.
Yeah. The Giants are going to be a little bit improved, and hopefully for them is their running back will maybe be healthy and last a few games. What the heck's his name? He came in, had such a great rookie year.
Saquon Barkley, but he's had so many injuries now, I don't know they'll ever amount to much.
Yeah, I think they'll definitely they'll certainly get one of those wins. Could get both of them. They're both at home. I'm not a believer in the Cowboys until I see it. They find a way to just underwhelm the preseason prognostications that all of the loving of America's team gives them. I mean, every network talks about, oh, this is the year for the Cowboys. This is the year for the Cowboys. And I just like it, and it hasn't been, which is nice, which I liked it, because I'm still burned from three Super Bowls that we handed to them by trading Herschel Walker. But that's beside the point. A couple more home games on the schedule are the Arizona Cardinals and the New York Jets. The Jets made a big jump with their draft, but it is a draft, so they're all, rookies, so they got a ways to go. And the Cardinals, they made the playoffs last year, and I think they're one and done, and they still got a decent quarterback there. Their receiver is – their big receiver, can't even think of his name, they got him from Houston. He's going to – DeAndre Hopkins or Hopkins, whatever his first name is.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be out for six games because of abusing PEDs, so that's going to hurt them a little bit. But what do you like there?
Well, with it being at home, so you said the Cardinals and Jets?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, if being at home, the Cardinals, obviously, Kyler Murray, it was a great game that the Vikings played on the road. And even though Kyler Murray had his numbers were ridiculous, I think they still played him well enough to win, and that was there. Totally different defense, obviously. A lot of this has been, you know, them having a pass rush and being able to cover, you know, that helps. If you got Danielle Hunter and Za'Darius Smith, you know, creating havoc on the edge, and you have you made some good moves on in the secondary, and if Patrick Peterson has got another year left in him, you know, I could see them. I would May 10th. I would put down that they win both those games.
Wow, I actually have them losing to the Cardinals, winning the Jets. So differ again there. Last two home games on the schedule: the Patriots and the Colts. Colts are, I think, are going to be a little bit better. The Patriots, I know you're a Bill Belichick Bobo, so I know you'll pencil in a loss for the Vikings, but I think they're going to beat them for once. They've struggled with that team, and not, Tom Brady's not around, so maybe it's time the Vikings finally get one here for them. They can't win on U.S. Bank Stadium anyway. That's where they lost the Super Bowl. So
Joe. Bill Belichick is like 67 or 8 years old. He's going up against a guy was his third string quarterback 10 years ago. Bill Belichick I'm not saying that Kevin O'Connell is going to be good or bad. I don't know. But what I'm saying is that Belichick is not going to lose to rookie coach. If you're picking, I would pick the Patriots all day long. I'll pick the Patriots even up until the day before the game, because there is no way that I think that Kevin O'Connell, get ready to play this back in September or October. Beat Bill Belichick.
You said it's early. We aren't held to this.
Yeah. So to me, they did. There is going to, I mean, this is the thing about Kevin O'Connell, is that people are assuming that he's going to hit the ground running. He's going to have all the answers. He's got a game management guy somewhere up in the clouds, feeding him information. He's never going to make a mistake with the fourth down call or the clock management. Or that's unrealistic to think that this guy is going to be perfect, his first time out, first time through this, and it's just not going to happen. And so he needs, it won't happen because nobody gives patience to anybody in the NFL, especially. But, that would be a good one to kind of highlight the learning curve of a guy who's go back and see how old Kevin O'Connell was in 1991 when Bill Belichick first became a head coach. So I my guess is he was about 5 years in kindergarten when Belichick started as a head coach, never mind the fact Belichick goes back. Belichick has been in the NFL every year since 1975. Doing something, whether it's Gopher in Detroit in 75, making $25 a week, to obviously Hall of Famer.
Oh, my God. So suddenly age is a virtue here. It wasn't experience. For the first half of this podcast, but now it is.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I don't see the Lombardi trophies behind you.
Wow. You do see a FUBAR trophy in my high school.
Well, I could span the room here.
Yeah,
I got more than one, Joe.
I got some baseball trophies back there. Can you see those? Come on, Mark. Anyway, all right. Well, then how about we're on the road, and we already said the Bears, Packers, and Lions. So how about the Eagles and the Saints? What about those two games, those two road games, which is nice. The Vikings do have 9 home games this year because they get the extra one from the new unbalanced schedule. And they don't lose a home game to London. So that's a home game for the Saints. But when it's really
they get 9 home games, a neutral game, and 7 road games. So
nice.
Obviously the road games, I don't know if you mentioned yet, but Washington, Buffalo, Miami.
Oh, we'll do those. But, I mean, what are your thoughts? Yeah. How will they do against the Eagles and the Saints?
Well, Philly, prime time on the road, I would pick a loss there. Even though that's one of those where, if you have a pass rush that's living up to what we think it might be, Jalen Hurts, and you can control Jalen Hurts running, they could easily win that game. But if I'm picking a winner or loser, I'm going home team, prime time, at night, you know, national TV, I'll give the Eagles the win there. Eagles have beaten them in a couple other games that I can remember. Saints, I don't know anything. We don't know anything about the Saints. I would take the Vikings, you know, in a neutral site. I think the Vikings might something about the Vikings in London. I think they're pretty popular there. I don't know if the Saints are or not, but it's a neutral site at best for the Saints. So I'll have them split those two.
Okay, so you've on the final games are Washington Commanders, the Buffalo Bills, and the Miami Dolphins. Three road games. Who do you got there?
You know, it's hard for me to pick them to win on the road, but I wouldn't pick them to beat Buffalo in Buffalo. I think the Buffalo is a better team. They're just more advanced. Got a better pretty much all around. Although the Vikings are obviously got a lot of talent. I don't like them going to Miami. It's a Miami's putting together, have some talent with Tyreek Hill. So I would pick them to lose Buffalo, Miami right now, but I'd pick them to beat Washington.
Well, I agreed with all five of those last five games with you, but I had to switch the Philadelphia Eagles one to a win so that I could get the Vikings to 10-7, and get that double figure win column. So that's where I got them at 10-7. How about you?
If you just add up what I said, it's it's right where I always end up. Although when the NFL went to 17 games, they took my a tradition unlike no other, Joe, is me picking 8-8 as a team's record. But I got 8-9 as a record. So
even with all those home games,
we've been there, done that. 8-9. So it's 7-8, 8-9, 8-9. But this 8-9 won't get anybody fired.
It won't make anybody happy if just to match Zimmer's record from last year.
The NFL changes hands every year. The teams that don't make the playoffs typically make the playoffs. I mean, the record is going back 30 years now or whatever. It's four teams making the playoffs that didn't make it the year before. Now, obviously the Vikings not making it 2 years in a row got everyone's head chopped off. So, that won't get anybody fired it's a pebble in the wrong pail, as you say, that they better start, if they do two of those in a row, I'm not sure that they fire everyone either, but you don't want to go 2 years in a row. This is it's a weird year in that it's, they call it competitive rebuild. It's such a contrast of terms that, if you look at half the roster or a lot of the roster, the Harrison Smiths, even Dalvin Cook, there's guys that are up there enough in age that Thielen, that they, Peterson, that they need to win now. But I just don't know that they have enough of the team, and the coaching staff's going to need some time, that they're going to be, a playoff team this year, but they'll be knocking on that door because you got the extra game, the extra playoff spot. So, certainly if they would sneak in and get in that sixth, seventh playoff spot, I would consider that a success.
Absolutely.
Just right out of the gate.
I look at the talent. I look at the improved defense. I look at the breath of fresh air that the new regime is. All his positives that are going to lift them above last year's record. I look as a negative as they've got to adjust to a new offensive system, a new defensive system, and that's going to take some time and it might cost some early games. So I think they're going to move in a new direction here. And yeah, like you said, there's some age there. So, go ahead.
And injuries. I mean, it's,
that's true.
If this team didn't have the injuries at the key spots that they had the last 2 years, Zimmer would still be here.
Exactly. And that's going to be key the guys they got coming back remain healthy. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, Zimmer in his last 2 years had Danielle Hunter for six games.
Right.
Zimmer in his last 2 years had his top three corners in 2020 were rookies.
If you get him and Smith going and healthy all year, oh my goodness, Zadarius. Right. Sure. That, that could really change things if everything coalesces there, and the safety they brought in is a great player right out of the gate, and Booth at the corner. Suddenly it's a pretty dang good defense back there, and that's what Kirk's been waiting for.
And I think whether it was right or wrong, I think the fact that they did trade down 20 to me adds a lot of fun things to watch during the season, like going to Philadelphia. Okay, let's say that that Smith and Hunter are coming off the edge really hard, but that defensive line's not that great. I still think that I don't know that they got three starters on that defensive line, and you're kind of at the end of your putting your roster together. On the flip side, they're playing at Philadelphia, who traded up right after the Vikings at number 13 and got Jordan Davis, the guy that I said they should trade or take. Joe Young. We know that
all that mock draft, Kenny Martin.
So what I'm saying like if that guy is if that guy's a game wrecker and he's everybody's like, oh, look at defensive rookie of the year possibility, Jordan Davis, da 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 da. It's something that's just kind of fun to watch because it's like, hey, there's another guy. There's a guy they could have had, da da da. And that was a position I thought of need was
maybe they like defensive line. Not on the defensive line though, because they went safety with that pick.
Oh, I know. That's what I'm saying. That's the fun part of like there's so many different ways of looking at. It connects in so many different ways from the. How does the receiver in Detroit going to do? How's the receiver in Green Bay going to do? How's this defensive lineman that they could have had? How is he going to do? It just kind of makes it a fun thing to watch as the season unfolds.
Yeah, it will be fun. And that's what we're going to do as time goes forward. In fact, we'll be back next week talking about what else is new with the Vikings coming along. So, we'll be adjusting these totals, I'm sure, all season long because it is early, but things happen in the NFL, but it will be fun to watch and see. So in the meantime, you got Mickelson and Woods both signed up for the field at the PGA next week. And you got the Wild tonight. Go Wild. We want that to happen.
I like the orange.
That's right. They're hunting the blues tonight. It's my hunting hat. And we'll be back next week to talk about it all. So thanks for tuning in. Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Mike Walden behind the scenes. And until next time, let's go Wild and skull.